May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be always pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our Maker and Redeemer. Amen. I expect that rather long gospel reading of Jesus meeting the Samaritan woman is perhaps a familiar one. It has many strands to reflect upon and gain insight and wisdom from. But this afternoon I want to look at three aspects that I pray will help us reflect on our attitudes towards others, how we engage with them, and ultimately how we may share our faith with them. Firstly, this encounter seems to fly in the face of the traditions and social norms of the time. Jesus and this woman, any woman, should never be speaking to one another about anything, let alone intimately discussing marital status and unfaithfulness. They were also left on their own and unchaperoned, unspeakable in that culture. And all that is, of course, without beginning to consider their ethnic groups. Jesus, a Jew, and the woman, a Samaritan, would normally have avoided each other like the plague, even though they were considered to have the same common ancestral roots. If you didn't know, Samaritans were descended from the tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh, yet they became distinct from the Jews when tabernacle worship moved from Shechem to Shiloh, before finally being established in the temple at Jerusalem. That's why the Jews worshipped in Jerusalem and the Samaritans on the mountain where this scene took place. And the Samaritan scriptures were exclusively the Pentateuch, or the first five books of our Bible, and it excluded the prophets and the wisdom literature of what we call the Old Testament. Their enmity was such that Jews would cross to the other side of the Jordan when travelling through the region, to avoid contact with the Samaritans that they would consider make them unclean. And considering the woman, on a practical note, she would draw water, women would normally draw water in the cool of the day, in the morning, not at noon, the sixth hour, and the hottest part of the day. The woman appears to be avoiding social contact, most probably due to her infidelities. This encounter should challenge us in how we engage with others, different from ourselves. Today's society too readily puts us into groups of have and have-nots, of white or brown or black, of class, creed and culture, of gender, in essence, of us and them. The church is no exception. We have our own denominations, our traditions, that become not a richness and a strength, but a course of differentiation and division. Jesus reached out across a gulf of artificial separation. All are loved and welcomed by God, and he knew he was to offer his life as much as for this woman as for any of his disciples or fellow Jews. And so this Lent, this reading calls us to reflect on our attitudes to others, and especially how we engage with others who may be lost and searching for some good news. Their otherness should not preclude us from engaging and speaking with them. God's love and acceptance should overflow through us to them, as it did from Jesus to this socially outcast woman. This Lent, I wonder if we could be bold enough to reach across our divisions, even just that little bit more, and live in unity with our brothers and sisters in the different denominations and traditions of the Christian Church. Secondly, we see in this encounter that it is Jesus who takes the initiative. The woman came to draw water, and it is Jesus who reached out to engage, asking for a little water for himself. There's much to be said of the subject of water in this passage, and it is water that links the Old Testament reading from Exodus. Fearing death from thirst, the Israelites grumbled to Moses, who interceded with God, and it was God who provided from the rocks at Meribah. The woman wanted water and got fed with water of life from God's Son, Jesus himself. Now, there's some real dialogue in the text here between Jesus and the woman, to in and fro him, claim and counterclaim. But Jesus knows what he has got and offers and presents it as a gift for her. But when she inquires and asks for it, she is challenged to go and fetch her husband. And I think this models for us a good conversation about faith. We should know what our faith means to us and be willing to share the difference it makes in our lives. And I think it's always good to have this in the forefront of our minds when talking about faith. I remember being asked once to give a testimony at a men's breakfast when I went with my then vicar to go and be the guest speaker, he was, at this men's breakfast at a fellow church. And literally, with about 5 minutes' notice, he said, "I want you to give your testimony, and I want you to do it in a minute. And think of one thing that the faith makes, one difference your faith makes in your life." I challenge you to do the same for yourself on the way home. The one thing that I found in my faith, and I think it's still true today, is it gives me a security in who I am. I don't have to pretend to be someone else. But have something in your mind ready and willing to share. But I think, like Jesus, we need to discern what others are saying. We need to listen to what is being said. We need human hearing and spiritual hearing. Because remember, he challenged her about her relationship with her husband. So when we listen to people, I think we need to hear further meaning behind the words. Is there something else being said in what is being shared? Is there something we're conjuring up in our minds that Jesus would perhaps say in this situation? Is there a feeling or an intuition in us that we need to act on? And some people in some traditions of church will call those feelings and intuitions and thinking and understanding of what people are saying to us as a word of knowledge. I think sometimes we dismiss them. But we need to act upon them. Reflect back what we hear people say, or we think might be the meaning behind their words. And be guided by the Holy Spirit in our conversations. Jesus had that word of knowledge about this woman's 5 husbands. But he shared that in humility with compassion and love. We need to tread carefully and wisely, and always to act in love. So this Lent, this reading also asks us to give time to listen to others we meet, to listen attentively, see what is behind their words, discern and share with love the spiritual blessings and experiences that we hold dear, that are part of our faith, and offer it as a gift to others. And so thirdly, in this meeting between the Samaritan and Jesus, Jesus offered truth. Jesus explained that the Jews worshipped what they knew. Remember, the Samaritans only had the Pentateuch, the first 5 books of the Bible. The Jews had revelation about God also through the prophets and wisdom. Through the prophets and the wisdom literature of the other books of the Old Testament. Ultimately, we have the Gospels and the New Testament too, and of course the revelation of Jesus himself, of who God is. And I think it's a reflection of this that Jesus said in regard to that, that the Jews worship what they knew. The Samaritan woman is led into her own knowledge by Jesus' revelation. Who Jesus was. I am of Yahweh, he said. And that would have conjured up to her the image of Moses at the burning bush. That verse 26 from the Greek is literally translated, I am is speaking to you. In the end, speaking about our faith, we have to speak Jesus, the I am. We can and should reach out with God's love, always and everywhere, unconditionally and inclusive to all. But we must be wary that it is not just a social gospel. The challenge to the woman was to change her behaviour. She and everyone is called to worship in spirit and truth. And we will only be led into spiritual truth through encounter with Jesus, his teaching, his example and sacrifice, by revelation in our hearts through his Holy Spirit. Sharing that truth is our responsibility. How people react to the truth is their responsibility and God's too. I'm sure perhaps you've heard this quote from C.S. Lewis before. And in talking in his book, Mere Christianity, he challenges people to make a decision about who Jesus is. This is what he says. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be just a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on a level with the man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. If we are sharing something of our faith, then we ought to be sharing something of Jesus too, what he means to us, his example, his teaching and words, the hope he gives us through his death and resurrection, which is ultimately forgiveness and new life. This Lent too then, as we approach Easter and Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, let us dwell again on the gift of Jesus, his life and grace freely given for us, and be prepared to share with others the truth we know and understand. Just to share with you, the diocesan, Bishop Gully, has just released a vision statement, if you like, for our diocese at this time. And it's talking about travelling well together. I don't know if there are leaflets at the back. If they're not at the back today, they will certainly be at the back very soon. And I think it tells us something of how we travel well together and reach out across those social divides in our society, and also some of the divides we find within the church too. So in a little bit of what I said, I think you might find further reading and a challenge to travel well together in that leaflet. I've got one in my bag at the back. I'm sorry I haven't bought it, but there might hopefully be some at the back of church too. This Lent, may our faith take deep root within us, but may we be emboldened to share something of Jesus and our faith with all with whom we meet. Amen.